It is officially summer because it is 4th of July weekend. Hot dogs, potato salad, corn on the cob, and don't forget the sparklers. All in celebration of America's birthday, and it is the perfect time to talk about spiritual freedom. What does it mean to be free in Jesus Christ? That's today on the podcast. Hey, this is Marisa from the Tower Hill production team. Thanks so much for tuning into our Tower Hill podcast. Wherever or whenever you're listening, we hope this podcast blesses you, and we hope that you feel free to share it with someone that you know so that they'll feel blessed too. It is 4th of July weekend, and today's message is all about freedom. So let's check it out right now.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship this morning. I'm so glad that you're able to join us. Happy belated 4th of July. Hope that you and your family are having a great weekend. We are talking today about the nature of freedom. What does that mean as we're thinking about freedom? I mean, this is a time where we normally are, and I often think of the cost of freedom on the 4th of July. Every Memorial Day and 4th of July, I often think about what it costs for me to enjoy the freedom that I do here in this country. And I don't know what you think of when you think of the word freedom. Maybe you served in the military, a very specific image that comes to mind when you think about freedom. Maybe you think about the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, or maybe you have some other visions in your head about what freedom looks like. Maybe you come at it from a totally different point of view, and it just triggers a memory that sticks with you every time that you think about freedom. It's funny, when I think about freedom, oftentimes, one of the first images that comes up is that beautiful time when you're a kid and it's the end of school and you're going into summer. And there's this magic age when you're not quite old enough to have a job, but you're old enough to have a lot of opportunity to have fun. I felt like that was, in so many ways, the definition of freedom. So for me, it was the end of school, the beginning of the summer, meant some really important things. And of course, if you know me at all, it begins with television. The very important shows that were on rerun when I was little. So, I mean, I don't even remember how old they are, but I was so into them, and I would tune in every day. The first would be Flipper. They call him Flipper. Flipper. Faster than lightning. No one you see is faster than he. So Flipper, this was my jam right here. I loved this show. I was so into it. I hated to miss any day of it. Summer was the time when I get to watch Flipper. And then right after Flipper, for a while, came another show. I don't know if you remember this one, Gentle Ben, starring Clint Howard and Dennis Weaver. I mean, this was great. I learned a lot of my sense of morality. My true compass was from these two programs. I wish I was kidding more than I actually am. Anyway. But then the third thing, and this was the most important part of summer freedom, was feeling like I can get ready to go to summer camp. And for me, I had a very privileged childhood in the sense that I grew up in Southern California. And I grew up in Los Angeles, and you could actually pay to join the YMCA and go to this camp, Camp Fox, on Catalina Island. 26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is waiting for me. So you get on a boat, you're 8 years old, you get on a boat, and 26 miles to Catalina. I can't believe my parents let me do that. This is the most beautiful camp. I look forward to it every year. It really was a big part of my life. And interestingly, it started to plant the seeds of faith in me as well. More about that another time. But this was really what freedom was all about. In fact, I could sleep in if I wanted to. I could do whatever I wanted to. And in fact, I think that was the version of freedom that felt like freedom to me. And I think for a lot of us when we grow up, I think our default definition of freedom is something like this. Freedom is doing whatever I want, whenever I want. That's freedom. And sometimes it really does feel like freedom when that happens. Right? Sometimes it does feel like freedom. Like when I go on vacation and I say, you know what? I'm not going to have any schedule. I'm not going to set my alarm, do whatever I want, keep my feet in the sand, go for a swim, eat whatever I want, drink whatever, like whatever I want. And it feels like freedom. But you see, there are other times when freedom feels like a prison. What do I mean? Sometimes doing whatever I want, whenever I want, has negative consequences. By eating and drinking whatever I want, I could cause damage to my body. Mostly it has to do with relationships. If I say and do whatever I want, whenever I want, I can hurt feelings. I could break relationships. Sometimes it feels like the exercise of this freedom definition that I have leads me to captivity. It feels like I'm in a prison of my own making because of my behavior. I think when we start to understand freedom, what is Christian freedom? What are we talking about? We're going to get to that in a minute. Is we have to understand a very important distinction, is that freedom and free will are two very different things. Free will is the ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want. So if you're looking at sort of like a definition of freedom in the government sense, then freedom is the right to exercise my free will under the law. So if I have those two things, I'm good, right? Free will, I could choose to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and then if I'm legally allowed to do it, those boxes are checked and I'm free, right? Let me tell you a little story about the Ponderosa. When I was in high school, and actually I have a high school buddy who sometimes tunes in for this, so Chris, this is for you. So in high school, on the football team, we used to go to Ponderosa. Ponderosa, for those who don't know, I don't even know if they're around anymore, but Ponderosa was an all-you-can-eat buffet. And I guess it was sort of like Golden Corral. I mean, they had like mashed potatoes and mac and cheese and steak, you know, all the food groups. And we would go there as this poor establishment. We would go there as a football team, and we would just decimate this place. I mean, we would go through so much food. In fact, we came up with a competition to see how many plates we could eat. And this was the thing every time we went. Now, I don't mean to brag, but I had 13 plates. That was my personal best. And so we took this very seriously. Every time you went up to get a round of food, we called it a round of food, each plate had to be judged by your peers to make sure that it counted. You had too little food on there, you got disqualified. You had to add more food. You were allowed one salad round. That was it. And everything else had to be like steak and mac and cheese and all this stuff. It was so gross. Let me tell you something about the Ponderosa. So I had the free will to eat as much food as I wanted, whenever I wanted, and it was legally okay for me to do so. Let me tell you this. I did not feel like I was enjoying freedom afterwards. I felt a little bit captive by the exercise of my free will. It didn't feel very freeing as a result. And I think as goofy as that story is, I do think there's a spiritual correlation to all of this. That we can say and do a lot of things. And even though it seems okay that we do them, maybe it's legal that we do them, there's a problem that gets in the way. And that is we can't always control ourselves. You see, true freedom is sometimes found in restraining our appetites. I think the whole problem with freedom, and for us, and this is certainly what Scripture talks a lot about, is we don't have it in us to perfectly obey the law. Our free will runs amok. Why? Because we have this problem of sin, and it's much worse than we even realize. Sin has corrupted us to our core. We are incapable of the kind of godliness that is God's standard. We need somebody to supply that godliness to us, and that's what happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that he supplies the righteousness that we need because we don't have it in and of ourselves. True freedom is sometimes found in restraining our appetites. You see, sin has broken this ability to be free under God's law. Sin, I once heard it described this way. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin has damaged our ability to abide by God's law. And so there's an issue here. If we go on, the exercise of my free will is held captive to the influence of sin. This is the fundamental problem. And as we move on, there is a great scripture that the Apostle Paul talks about. When he tries to describe this phenomenon of what's happening, he's like, I don't understand. So I've got this free will and I've got this freedom, and I know that I'm free in Jesus Christ, but I keep doing the wrong thing. And I think you'll find it really helpful because he leads us to a place of understanding what Christian freedom is all about. Not just human freedom or governmental freedom, but what does it mean to be free in Jesus Christ? And Paul takes this idea and applies it, or uses the gospel to apply it to the idea of freedom. And here's how he starts. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. And that word unspiritual literally means of the flesh. And so Paul uses this word flesh. This is actually interesting here. Paul uses this word flesh, sarx in the Greeks. He does not use the word body, soma. And this is interesting because he's not just talking about what happens in your body when it comes to sin. He's talking about a spiritual reality, and he calls it the flesh. I think sometimes that gets confused. I think that's an important distinction because some people will say, you know, the body's the corruptible part. Anything you do in the body is not good. That's not necessarily true. It's the spiritual part of you, which he calls the flesh. Human sin nature, he calls the flesh. And he sets it up. So it's a battle between the spirit, the Holy Spirit, which means what God wants, and the flesh, what I want. That's the fundamental issue here. It's a spiritual captivity to sin that prevents my freedom. Let's keep going. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Anybody ever feel like that? It's like, I want to do what God wants me to do, and I can't seem to do it. I can't seem to execute. Well, you're in good company, as Paul unpacks here. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. In other words, it's not a fault with God's law that I'm performing poorly, right? It's not God's fault. The law is good. It's like if I go, you know, drive my car and crash into a tree and I get arrested, it's not because the law was bad, but because I was. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So he's trying to reconcile the fact that Jesus has set him free, but he still kind of falls into sin. Well, why is that? He said, well, there's still this sin nature in me that is at work. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And we're really meant to feel his pain in this moment, right? Because we should all be feeling that, say, what a wretch I am. I can't do what God wants me to do. I have this flesh part of me that's waging war against the Holy Spirit. I am in this wretched state. I am in this prison of captivity. And so the way that Paul kind of breaks it down is free will, doing whatever I want whenever I want, human freedom, the right to exercise my free will under the law. And if I apply this spiritually, the problem is why I can't do this spiritually. But most of us can abide by the law governmentally, I mean, you know, civilly, but why can't we abide by the law spiritually? Because we have this spiritual problem. I can't conform to the law because of sin. But praise God, there is the good news of the gospel. And this is why Paul, he sets it up this way to show us how bad the bad news is, right? None of us are good enough. The bad news is much worse than you think, but the good news is much better than you imagined. And so what's the good news? Well, he continues. Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is Christian freedom. Christian freedom. Jesus is breaking the chains of sin. He is setting you free. And this is something that the Christian experiences every day. Even though the flesh gets in the way, Jesus breaks the chains. He sets us free. You can make the argument, we only experience freedom in our lives as the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. So why do we keep on sinning? This was Paul's question, right? Why do we keep on sinning? If we've been set free, why do we keep on sinning? I think a great way to describe it is, imagine for a moment, this is going to sound kind of silly, but just imagine for a moment that you're a car. Let's say you're a car. And if you put your faith in Jesus, that means God owns the title. God owns you. He cares for you. He pays for the fire insurance. That was a terrible joke, I'm sorry. But he takes care of you. He owns the car. However, you can unlock your doors and let anybody drive. Now, when you let God drive, the car performs at its best. It goes to the locations it's supposed to go. You squeeze every last mile out of that car when God is in control of it. But see, this is how free will works, is at any point in time, we can decide to let the flesh take it for a spin. And God lets us do it. God owns it. God will redeem it one day. But in the meantime, we can allow anyone to drive it. And here's the thing, you're either allowing God to drive it or you're allowing sin to drive it. And when the flesh or sin drives that car, it starts breaking down. Hubcaps go flying off. Gets used improperly. The battery runs dry. The check engine light comes on. You end up in all the wrong places. You don't get the most mileage out of the car. It breaks down way too soon. And this is life that is lived by just allowing the flesh to drive. But here's the beauty. I think this is what Paul's getting at. Is at any time, driving the car wherever you want, that's not freedom. Allowing God to drive wherever he wants, that's when you experience the most freedom in your life. I'll tell you this. I never felt as free in my whole life as I did when I allowed God to drive. Never. It's not even close. When God's driving, the car runs at its peak performance. Christian freedom, then, is the ability to exercise my free will under the authority of Christ. Or maybe let me put it this way. Christian freedom is the ability to do whatever God wants whenever God wants it. That's freedom. If you look at the idea of sin and what happened all that time ago that has corrupted human nature ever since, you know what sin is? It's a declaration of independence against God. It's saying, God, I'm good. I don't need you to drive the car. I got this. I'm declaring my independence from you. That's what sin is in all of its shapes and forms. And so I think today, this Freedom Weekend, maybe today is a day where we do something a little different. We have a declaration of dependence. We are in complete dependence of Jesus Christ. And that is what drives us forward. That's what gives us freedom. That's how we live our life and get the most out of it. I don't know where you are in your life of faith. If this all seems new to you, that's okay. I encourage you to dig in. Start reading the scripture for yourself. A great place to start is the Gospel of John. It outlines the whole Christian message and what the good news is really about, who Jesus is and what he did. And then I want to encourage you to find a church. If you're not part of Tower Hill, we'd love to have you. If you live far away, I want to encourage you to find a church where you are. Get connected, start learning, start growing in your faith. And if you've been walking with the Lord a long time, then you know just how important it is to live this out in your everyday life. It should be our daily reminder. We are in complete dependence of God. Amen.